At GoDaddy.com, we believe you can do amazing things on the internet. Start with a domain name, then build yourself a website, or have GoDaddy build one for you. From hosting and online shopping carts to SSL certificates, GoDaddy has the tools you need at prices to fit any budget. Get your .com for $5.49 when you use the code T31 at checkout. GoDaddy.com, domains, websites, and everything in between.
A GoDaddy indeed. Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends, the T3 podcast. Woo. Right now, Dan is working nights in Salford, city of the future. I'll be talking you through this difficult time. This week, Google does a lot of exciting stuff. Samsung Galaxy S3 fever reaches fever pitch, and Apple sells mucho units. Joining me on this, the most exciting week that tech has ever known, are the lady who puts the cum in Cymru, Ree Morgan, and the man who is wooden by name, steely by nature, king of all news, Andrew Whidden.
Hello. Hi. How are you? I like that.
Go, daddy. To be honest, whenever I'm setting up a website, which I often do, and I'm not saying this just because they're sponsoring the program this week, I always use GoDaddy.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yep. There you go, then. That's a quote they could put on the website.
I always use GoDaddy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Duncan Bell, podcaster extraordinaire.
Now, well, thank you very much for saying that, Ree. Now, you may remember some weeks ago we introduced our regular new feature, which everybody enjoyed, elephant-related errors in press releases.
That was a great...
Do you remember that one? I think that might have been before your time, Andrew, but there was a very amusing email relating to the Galaxy Notes.
Yeah.
Where they said... It's sort of syntax or grammar kind of errors relating
grammar.
To elephants.
It was grammar. It was the world's first elephant.
Yeah, uses Galaxy Note.
Uses Galaxy Note, yeah.
And then they sent an explanatory email saying, we don't really mean the world's first elephant.
Yeah.
Because that would be like a mammoth.
Yeah. Where did we get him from? That. Yeah, it was quite a serious clarification as well. They seemed to be genuinely worried that people were going to be sort of writing about the world's first elephant.
It would cause confusion along the lines of, you know, people going, the world's first elephant.
Wow. So what?
Jurassic Park type genetic technology.
Or maybe what we thought were elephants before weren't elephants. This was like the first elephant.
And they've somehow got this one-off, kind of betusked creation to have a play with the Galaxy Note. I mean, so we know everyone enjoys this feature, so you'll be pleased to know that I got an email this morning and it said, please note correction in the following press release. The average weight of a male elephant is 5,450 kilograms, so that means the total weight of the receipts is equivalent to 1,380 elephants.
What?
Please accept our humble apologies. Kevin Maxwell, who is the son of Robert Maxwell and was declared bankrupt with debts of $406.5 million in 1992, if he is that Kevin Maxwell.
Yeah, right.
Because he'd sent out a press release saying it was something to do with the paperless office or something.
Right.
And he was saying, if you don't digitise your receipts, you end up with receipts
elephants?
The weight of quite a number of elephants. But he'd got his elephant-related maths wrong.
Oh, poor elephants. They're always like, because they're so big and so fat. Like, do they know that we kind of compare...
We use them
really,
as a unit of measurement.
Heavy unit of measurement.
I don't know. London buses might feel the same if they were sentient.
Yeah, exactly.
But like, you know, we do more than merely exist to be used as a point of comparison for something that's quite long and wide.
Yeah.
They might well say.
Just a thought there. Just a thought.
Anyway, that's all we've got time for this week. So thanks for joining us. No, we haven't. Now. I thought we'd talk about something serious this week as Dan's away. So Samsung is launching a phone.
Yes.
Apple will at some point be releasing a phone, I dare say, and perhaps a TV.
Perhaps.
Now, that's all
not
very well.
As definite.
That's all very well. Google, in the meantime, is getting into asteroid mining, paying homage to the greatness of the late Sir Clive Sinclair, if indeed he is dead. I'm not sure he is. And trying to end terrorism and violent extremism of all types. Now,
world peace is next, I think, on the list.
Yeah.
For Google.
Have you heard about this? I hope you have, because I sent you the link earlier. There's an organisation called Google Ideas, where it's a sort of subdivision of Google, and they've launched something called Against Violent Extremism, AV.
Yep.
As in AV that.
AV
that.
Yeah, AV it.
Violent
extremism. They're going to have it large.
They set up it as a kind of online resource for former terrorists.
Yeah.
I'm not making this up. Like, you check your calendar. We're nowhere near April the 1st. They basically set it up. It's like a Facebook, I guess, for former terrorists and the victims of terrorism.
Yeah, to talk to each other. So it's like...
Yes.
To kind of...
Not current terrorists, because that would just be stupid. That would just be... Sort of a trolling nightmare.
Yeah, yeah, but I think they just come and discuss their extremist ways.
Yeah, and then try to come up with means for people who are currently extremists to move out of that cycle of violence. Yeah. And
this is what Google is doing.
The guy who is behind this, the head of Google Ideas, director, if you will, of Google Ideas, Jared Cohen. He says, he introduces it like this: what do a former violent jihadist from Indonesia, an ex-neo-Nazi from Sweden, and a Canadian who was held hostage for 15 months in Somalia have in common? And that might sound like the beginning of the worst joke you've ever heard in your life, but the answer is they're all on this thing. Now.
So is there a vetting process for you to go on? Do they have to say, well, you're not extremist enough, actually, so you can't actually come to our think tank? Because you have to, like, prove extremism.
You've been a terrorist.
Yeah. Surely then...
That was my first question. It's a great idea, but the thinking behind it, I don't know, it seems a little bit woolly, but it's still a positive thing. I mean, Andrew, are you opposed to terrorism?
Yes, I am opposed to terrorism.
Good.
I mean, it's an interesting idea, really. It's kind of a social network, but yeah, very exclusive. Mm. I mean, you don't often get such a mission statement with these social networks. It's usually... you know, how to share an amusing picture of a cat quickly.
Yeah.
Rather than, you know, combating all extremism and gang culture in the world, which is what it sort of wants to do.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when Steve Jobs used to introduce having one more megapixel in the Apple iPhone camera as if this was the most amazing idea that anybody had, you know, in the history of anything, what would he have made of this?
Well, he'd have been quaking in his boots.
Apple must now be preparing, like, sort of... terrorism or something.
No, famine. They'll go with famine.
Famine. Or eye famine relief.
Yeah, yeah.
It's catchy.
Or AIDS. So, they might go for AIDS. That's the biggest. Eye AIDS. Yeah.
Eye ads.
Yeah. That could be.
Actually, they've already done eye ads.
Putting the eye in AIDS.
And that is about as welcome as AIDS, funnily enough, eye ads, in my experience. That's the kind of targeted location based advertising they sell through iOS. Yeah.
Oh, there we are.
So anyway, so that's the first thing that Google's doing. They're bringing an end to all terrorism.
Mm.
And the next thing they're doing is, and I'm not making this up again, Larry Page and Eric Schmidt, along with, in fact, director and megalomaniac James Cameron, are making sort of a real-life Armageddon. If you're familiar with the film Armageddon, they're going to head into space, drill into an asteroid, and then extract vast sums of cash from the asteroid, basically. They've signed up for this thing called Planetary Resources.
So what is that? I don't know what this is. I know about the...
Well, it existed already. I think it was, you know, it was a vague concept of, you know, with all these asteroids going around, isn't it an idea to send someone up, drill, and, yeah, get some money out of it? And basically all these... quite a lot of people from Google have sort of thrown some cash behind it as well as, I think, a lot of NASA people. There's Microsoft's old CTO, I think, is involved. Lots of consumer tech people are throwing their weight behind it. But
well, lots of extremely rich people.
Yeah.
With money to throw at things,
I mean, you're saying it there like, there's all these asteroids floating around. You know, it's pretty obvious. You just go up there, drill into them. But it's a bit like saying, you know, obviously man could learn to fly if you attach something to his arms and he flapped fast enough. All you have to do is just put it in. You know, it does take... I believe the sums involved are astronomical.
Excellent.
The astronomical, because that means that's to do with... that's a word that means to do with going into
thanks
space.
Thanks for that, thanks.
So, but again, like big ideas, big, massive ideas. They're thinking not just outside of the box, but I don't know, outside of
the world.
The packing crate that the box came in. Yeah, the hangar space, the planet on which that box was dispatched via parcel force.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? I mean, because obviously Apple's got more sums of money than anyone in the world.
That's what I thought.
But they just give dividends back to shareholders, whereas Google sort of just remakes Alien life.
It's absolutely, you know, because what I'm really hoping, to be honest, is this is going to, because obviously there's always competition between tech firms and people, you know, the personalities involved.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that all the big tech firms, you know, people who currently make plasma screens and phones and stuff, they're going to be like, right, we're going to colonise Mars. You know, like LG is going to be like, that's it, we're off to Uranus. Or, or Samsung's going to be like, well, we're going to drill down to the Earth's core.
Yeah.
And I don't know, whether we meet dinosaurs.
Do something
That's
there.
That's exactly where you
Get
meet dinosaurs.
Get cash from there.
We're going to claim
elephants.
We're
going to go to the sun. Take an elephant into space. To see what happens.
But, I mean, I think it's, you know, it's, we can all have a laugh about this, but, you know, this is what the great tycoons of the past used to do. You know, I mean, and obviously it's not just out of altruism, it's to make money and it's to sort of glorify themselves and things. But it's, you know, it's like making big sort of statements and doing, you know, building great things and having great works.
Really, yeah, Richard Branson's really good at it, isn't he? He
does that consumer.
Submarine, and he wants to go, he's doing that Virgin Galactic
tourism thing. Yeah. I mean, that's incredibly impressive, but that, I mean, that almost seems like, well, that's like driving a London bus compared to, oh, we're going to, okay, we're not, I suppose I should just explain, obviously, the board of Google aren't literally going to build a spacecraft, go up themselves and drill international. but they're researching the possibility of what can be done. I mean, apparently an average, and I'm afraid I've no idea how anybody has worked this out, but apparently an average asteroid 30 metres across could potentially contain $50 billion worth of platinum.
Wow.
Well, it's a lot of money, but it's how much does it cost to get there? I mean,
Well, I suppose that's the thing. And then the other thing is,
and how do you get it back?
How do you know that it's an asteroid that's full of platinum?
Yeah,
like you might get up there and discover that it's just full of like chalk.
Dust. You have to check on the bottom. They've got little codes. Gold in here, probably.
I suppose
little alien just goes no.
This is
that's how they speak.
Yeah. They'll discover an alien.
Yeah, so you know, like Sergey Brin or whatever will land. And say, hello, have you got any platinum here?
No.
And the alien would be like, nah, mate.
Nah.
We had some platinum.
Need the man of the road, mate.
But it all went. We spent it all on trainers.
Check out my new friends.
And then perhaps most impressively of all, I mean, those two Google things are pretty impressive. No, okay, this one's less impressive. But they did have a very nice ZX Spectrum Google on Monday. And I thought that was very sweet as well, you know, because I find myself warming to Google because of these things they're doing. Because obviously the Spectrum doesn't really mean anything outside of Britain or Europe at any rate. But they saw fit to commemorate that. And they sort of tied it into St. George's Day, which apparently it also was on Monday. Because it was, it was St. George slaying a dragon done in the style of ZX Spectrum. Yeah. With a sort of little subtle sort of logo.
Little logo.
Yeah. So
I liked that. It's nice.
I thought that was great.
Do you think that's just for Google? Was it just Google.co.uk or was it .com?
Well, no, you can't mention it. Maybe the rest of the world didn't get to see it.
Yeah,
but nonetheless, a nice gesture. Now, as I've mentioned before, when I want to know what's really going on in any tech story, I reach the Daily Telegraph.
Yeah, and the comments. I remember
its comments section on its website. And this was at the bottom of the story about Google potentially going into space. No, sorry, Google potentially bringing about world peace. And it gave us this perspective, which I liked. As a liberal white woman and Mormon married to a Mexican illegal immigrant in the United States, why doesn't Google set up a system in the United States whereby people can complain about American companies who have illegal immigrants who form labor cartels within their companies? Terrorism is one thing, but America's border with Mexico is a joke.
Well, thanks for that.
So what business plan was that? I'm not sure what she wants there.
Yeah. I think basically what she's saying is that because Google is looking into solving one problem, they should come and solve her problem.
Well, and all other problems.
Yeah, so I think maybe...
It's kind of a request. It's kind of like, you know, you're obviously looking around for stuff to do, so how about this?
I think what she's saying is... it's all very well saying you're going to bring about world peace, but what are you going to do about the border with Mexico?
Yeah, what about my husband who's created this labour cartel? What are you going to do about him?
You can't say fairer than that. No. So next, news!
Apple returned profits of $11.6 billion, that's £7.2 billion in real money, in Q1 of space year 2012. The Cupertino-based tech flogged 35 million of its iPhone devices in that period, although only a piffling 11.8 million iPads limped off the shelves.
It's now estimated that by 2017, Apple will own all of the money on planet Earth and will have to begin evicting humanity to the moon in order to make space for more cash to be assembled in mighty columns up to 4 miles high.
Mobile phones do not give you cancer, or not at any rate within 5 years. Top boffins at the UK's Health Protection Agency have sifted hundreds of studies and concluded that exposure to mobile signals doesn't cause brain tumours. Other types of cancer, harm to cardiovascular health, or the pox that's caused by toilet seats and bad kissing.
However, carcinoma knowledge jockey Anthony Swerdlow said it was important to continue monitoring research as very little was known about the risks beyond 5 years. That's because most people did not use mobile phones until the late 90s, so basically they don't know.
Finally, security news. The Information Commissioner's Office, whatever that is, has found that 11% of second-hand hard drives have not been wiped and contained information classified as sensitive.
Digital nuggets unearthed were said to include bank statements, medical documents, passport information, the whereabouts of the True Cross, and pictures of the Queen straddling Silvio Berlusconi.
Wow, that's a great discovery.
The things that you find on hard drives, honestly.
Oh, dear, was that yours?
It probably was. No, because if I ever... I had to pull out my hard drive the other day when it broke down, and then took an axe to it, set fire to the remaining bits, just on the off chance there might be... any kind of untowardness that might come out at some later date.
Oh, dear.
Sort of MI6 spy in bag.
They were just waiting for
shenanigans.
You. They were just waiting. They were like, he's going to leave that little bit there. No, oh no, he's set on fire.
So, yes, now it's time to see what you've been saying on the One True Facebook group, as a lot of people are calling it. That's our
at one that you're
group,
now.
Which I've joined.
A member of.
I've joined Facebook.
You've joined
so
just,
I can be a member of our group.
It's amazing.
It is amazing, isn't it?
So we've got some good feedback on last week's pod. Leah Freeman, despite the 5-minute lecture on apostrophe rules and bitches, you managed to pronounce my name wrong. Oh, no.
As indeed you just have again.
Yeah. Sorry. This one is from Lee Freeman. Despite the blah, blah, you managed to pronounce my name wrong. Spelt Leah, L-E-A, pronounced Lee. He's got hippie parents. Apologies, I pronounced it wrong again.
I like the. I don't understand the hippie parents as an explanation. Is the idea they're hippie because they've given him a slightly girly name, or is Leah?
It's kind of a hippie because like they didn't like the way that it was written and they wanted to be different.
Okay, so Leah isn't like it's not like Gaia or something.
No.
It's not like
it's
the
like
earth,
my
the Earth goddess.
My friends called her baby Ava.
Do you know Nicole's David Bowie's
spelt it weird,
son
A-F-A.
Was called Afa?
Yeah, but it says
that just sounds like an acronym.
Yeah. But,
David Bowie's son's called Zoe or Zowie.
Really?
Depending on how you pronounce Bowie or Bowie.
So he's Zowie Bowie?
Yeah. But do you know what he changed his name to? Because he got fed up of being called Zoe and being a boy.
Yeah.
Duncan.
Duncan Bowie.
Strong, obviously male name.
I suppose so, yes.
And then I've got Sasha Superloop Lupakeen. In Poond, the. Oh, no.
So you've done it again.
In Oond, the P is silent, and the whole world. Oh. In Poond, the P is silent, so you say Oond, and the whole word is said exactly the same way as owned. So I've done it wrong.
So you've done it wrong just again.
So, yeah, that went well. So in Owned, you say Owned.
So why did you
Oond
say
or Oond?
Well, it's just a sort of, it's kind of online gaming thing. I think it's a reference to the fact that people don't type very accurately.
In the middle of a shooting fest.
Yeah, but then having said that, the letter O, I don't think it's anywhere near the letter P, so I don't know why they alighted on P as being the humorous.
And Poond isn't really...
Well, it's not Poond, well, it's
owned. No,
owned.
But
I think we've established that now.
Those five letters, they're not... You wouldn't...
Do you know the reason why I've played this cruel trick on you, Ree?
Why?
Because the same guy, Leah stroke Lee... He and his further down the tweet, the what do you call a thing on a Facebook? His
post.
His post. See, I'm learning the.
Is this
lingo.
The one that complained about my reading?
He said, "Why doesn't Reed read a few sort of sentences ahead before saying things out loud?"
I've been like this forever. you know, in exams, always read a question. I never did.
Well,
I
do
just
you know
plowed
what it is?
On.
It's because you're a bit like sort of a Miles Davis type figure. You know, you don't need to learn the notes.
No.
You just improvise, and what comes out is quite beautiful.
Yeah,
it's very true.
Thanks,
that's my,
thanks for
that's
that, Duncan. Thank
that's
you. For
what
that.
I would say.
Yeah,
Andrew, if you can read this out in your very best reading voice.
Yeah, there's one from Mark Hamilton who says, "Magenta, Nokia
Magenta.
Lumia, no, immediately."
Magenta.
Magenta. First word.
Magenta.
Magenta, Nokia Lumia 900 surfaces. Q. magenta equals pink, cyan equals turquoise debate on the podcast again.
Oh, yes. Well, you see, again, as a noob, you're not privy to the really quite hilarious running joke that is whatever this guy is referring to.
Well, I know, because we thought cyan was a different colour.
Yeah, we weren't quite sure. Well, I still don't understand why is it called magenta when you're talking about it in computer tech type terms. Why don't you just call it pink? Mm. Pink and proud, you know. Yeah. What's wrong with that?
We should get a Dulux colour chart in. Mm.
Well, I think it needs to be a Pantone colour chart, because a Dulux one, in fact, would call it pink.
They would.
Yes.
Wow.
Fascinating.
It just gets better and better.
You know, because people talk about the pink pound, don't they? They don't talk about the magenta pound, and then like blue, deep blue. You say
the
clear blue water.
Coin. Yeah.
Blue coin?
What's cyan? I don't know. Just made up.
Yeah, when people say like, we want to put clear blue water between us and recession, they don't say deep clear cyan water.
No.
Not quite sure what my point is there.
No, I don't either.
Press on.
Okay, so Russell Sampson says, 11.6 billion profit in 3 months. Is there no stopping Apple? That, combined with the huge recent patent trading and acquisitions by leading tech companies such as Microsoft, Facebook, AOL and more, surely bubble 2.0 must be rapidly approaching. It is an uneven balance when many of these companies have more money than entire countries.
Well, valid
that is true.
Point.
That is true. And that is the thing about this, you know, like the Google sort of mining into the moon to find uranium or whatever it is. Mm. It's because they've generated vast amounts of wealth, and I don't think people quite appreciate. Well, maybe they do. Well, this guy obviously does, because he's
Russell
posted
knows.
About it.
He's on it.
But I think a lot of people don't appreciate just how much the economy has shifted to the point where you have companies that really don't do an awful lot have now got more cash than God.
Well, it was something in the,
kind of raises interesting questions.
There was a piece in the paper this morning that David Elk, the guy who owns Spotify? David Eck, sorry. He now has the same amount of money, or he's worth then. He's worth the same amount as the Beckhams. So that's quite a lot of money, but Spotify has never turned over a profit.
Yeah, yeah.
Not once.
Yeah, well, that's back. The last time we were talking about this Instagram, Facebook thing, there's two different types. I suppose with Apple, something entirely different. It does actually shift stuff out and has made more money than it could ever spend.
Yeah, but, I mean, say we like about Apple, but it does produce tangible products that you see people walking down the street with.
Yeah, quite expensive ones. I mean, that's the basis of his entire wealth, is that they're so expensive and actually do an awful lot. Mm. But surely there's a tipping point in companies between once you've sorted out your debts and you've got your manufacturing in order, what do you spend your money on?
Yeah.
You've got all this money that is more than, I think the Federal Reserve is always, Apple's supposed to have it. Well, you can't do what a federal government does with that money and like buy an aircraft carrier or something.
You say that, but as you were saying in the news yourself, I mean, there are apparently now, that Apple will own all the money on planet Earth and will have to begin evicting humanity to the moon.
I did say
you
that.
You said that.
It was in the news.
With your own lips.
It was in the news. It was fact.
It's true.
So, unfortunately, all these interesting almost spiritual, governmental level discussions are rather beyond the scope of this podcast. So let's move on to the next one. Thomas Towner says, my first home computer was a Gateway 2000 running Windows 95. Now this we can get with a Pentium with MMX. Remember that? What was yours? Right?
It was Gateway. That was one with a cow on the front, wasn't it? Didn't have a cow on the box.
Yes. No, or the box had a sort of... It didn't have a cow on it. It had like...
It looked like a cow.
Yeah, you know the
print.
Sort of black and white blotches the one has on a cow.
I remember
like
that.
I think that was Gateway, yeah.
Yeah, it was. I think that might have been one of mine because I remember Happy the cow days. Box.
Really?
Yeah.
God, you young people. My first one was pre-PC. My first ever computer was a BBC Model B with 16 gigabytes of RAM.
Wow.
No, gigabytes. What am I talking about?
No.
Kilobytes. 16 kilobytes of RAM.
That's a lot.
Which, if you think about, basically, if I do this... Right, the amount of memory that was required for you to be able to now listen to this as an MP3, well, that was probably quite a lot more than 16 kilobytes.
So it's tiny then, 16 kilobytes.
Yeah, it's nothing.
But it was all text, I suppose, the things that were saved back then. You didn't have much in terms of
audio files. Well, that was amazing what you could do with it. You know, people brought out quite impressive bits of software for it.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Well, Elite, that was good. You could roam the entire universe in Elite.
Wow.
The entire universe in 16 kilobytes.
That's amazing. You should tell Google about that. Save him a lot of money.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, that involved asteroid mining. Oh, yeah. I wonder if the guys from Google like to play Elite as children. I don't know. And then Callum Elcombalo, I think I've got that right, says, great podcast, ideal length with great content. perfect companion to the site and Meg.
Oh, thank you very much, Callum.
Very nice. So,
you know, it's very easy to criticise things, but...
It's harder to be nice about them.
Exactly. Like the Google thing about bringing about world peace. You know, we can sit here and be cynical about it, but what are we doing to end terrorism?
This is true. Not being a terrorist.
Well, sort of exuding general good vibes, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly.
If Al-Qaeda were sitting in their, you know, their sort of bedrooms, caves, wherever it is, they loiter, you know, listening to this podcast.
Yeah, we'd say stop.
They'd probably be like, oh, it's a bit stupid, all this, trying to bring down the West and bring about...
Don't do it.
That's your advice.
Yeah. Just don't do it.
No, that's good.
So, yeah, so anyway, on that bombshell,
I hope we get time for a post in our Facebook group now.
Oh, what?
From Al-Qaeda.
Saying what?
Great podcast.
Forget it, infidels. Although we do like the podcast, but we are going to continue to wage jihad. But yeah, we can dream. Now it's time for our Gadget of the Week.
Yes.
Yes. So, finally, Samsung, as I mentioned earlier, is releasing a phone this week. And I wanted to to give a bit of flavour. I wanted to play the kind of preview adverts that Samsung has put together for this. But unfortunately, Liam, our producer, tells me we can't play this.
Why?
For copyright reasons. So I'm going to read it out in the style of Brian Cox.
Okay.
While you two, if you can sort of hum sort of cosmically and dramatically in the background.
Hum cosmically.
Yeah, if you imagine sort of quite pompous sort of music, but not too loudly.
Like, that's not that noise.
Okay, well, I'm just going to start and you free associate.
I'm going to sing Star Wars.
Truly smart technology becomes a part of life, where a galaxy fits perfectly into your hand. Your view of the world grows ever wider as you gain the power to explore it freely and swiftly. With technology that fits in this easily, you can now stand out from everyone else. Yes, that noise at the end was some sheep, which, to be honest, we did.
Let it out again.
We did, Nick, from the advert. But you can't copyright sheep.
No. So, we could have gone out. We could have gone out and got some sheep.
Exactly. You don't know that's your sheep, Samson. Yeah, exactly. You got a problem? Come talk to me.
Yeah. You tell him. You tell him.
So I think what Samson's saying there is...
I think the word,
20 million unit shifting Galaxy phones are, you know, they're like a little niche cult thing, and they're not for they're not for everyone.
Yeah,
they're
it's not a bit for of a stretch, isn't it? These
other types of phone.
These are for a select few.
Yeah,
these are for the
free
wolves.
Thinkers.
The wolves who hunt the sheep. That's what they're saying.
That'll be the next ad. That'll be the next preview advert. Yeah, like, oh. Savaging the iPhone owning sheep.
Yeah.
So what do we expect from the S3?
Quite a lot, actually. A lot of people have been excited. We've been waiting for it for a year, something like that. It's going to do MWC in February. So I think the big ones are going to be quad-core processor.
You reckon quad-core?
It'll have to have. Definitely. There's been too many other phones already out.
In terms of ones that are already out, there's only one.
Yeah, or announced at least then, because we don't know that it's going to come out. It might just be announced and it'll be a bit... I mean, they couldn't come out with anything less than quad-core now that it's almost the benchmark for new phones now.
Yeah.
Whether or not it's needed is another question. I don't know whether there's lots of applications utilising four cores, but it's a specs game.
Yeah.
And then, it is a specs game. Well, according to what Sony was saying, although I don't want to suggest that Sony might be bullshitting on this, but as I was saying last week, they haven't rolled out Ice Cream Sandwich on their handsets because they reckon it's so processor intensive. So maybe Ice Cream Sandwich, quad-core, maybe there is a correlation there because it needs... basically a processor that's powerful enough to plan a mission to an asteroid to drill into it just in order to run Ice Cream Sandwich. I don't know.
Well, yeah.
So we're saying definitely quad-core.
Definitely quad-core. I safely say quad-core. Let's not say definitely. We'll say safely say quad-core.
How can you unsafely say quad-core?
Well, that it's well,
sort of
unlikely.
Hanging by one hand from a cliff.
Yeah.
Quad-core!
A better camera.
Yeah. A better camera. Sticking your neck out there.
Yeah.
How many, what in what way will it be better, Ree?
12.
megapixels.
Yeah.
That's the only way it ever goes up. I mean, that's all you can do on a really thin phone, isn't it? Usually on it's the lens and the but you can't really stick a massive great lens onto a phone. So it, they can only
But Samsung do have a little bit of form because they're one of the few companies who ever brought out a sort of optically zooming camera.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they might try that again? Maybe. Do you think the public's enthusiasm, here's the thing, for just an ever up escalating number of megapixels has now waned and they're actually now coming around to the idea of, like, because again, Apple has started to reprogram people to be like, what's important is how fast your phone turns on and, you know, how quickly. Do you think Samsung will take a similar tack, or do you think they'll just go 10 billion megapixels?
Yeah, Samsung like specs and they seem to me a company that's, they like to big numbers.
Yeah.
They'll come out and just say big numbers and
most
you don't need
do,
it.
Most companies do, except for Apple.
Exactly. Sheep love pixels. They love them.
Sheep hate pixels.
Do they? Oh, right, yeah.
Sheep like fast startup times and sort of mystical kind of ponderings on HDR and the like.
I think
wolves
have,
like megapixels.
Yeah. What else? Better battery. Loads of people. The S2 has awful battery. So better battery.
Okay.
I don't know if they can ever solve that though. There was something recently. It was is an updated Motorola Razr. It had a much thicker back to it, which solved the battery problem. But is that going to be a compromise they're going to make for their next flagship phone?
It can't go any thinner than the S2.
The S2 is bloody thin.
It can't go thinner.
And if it does go thinner, then I think by definition the battery won't be better, particularly. Again, if it's packing quad core. So maybe they will, take. And I suppose the iPad 3, actually, to be fair, that is a bit fatter than the iPad 2 in order to accommodate various bits and bobs and make sure the battery is big enough. Maybe we're seeing an exciting new trend in gadgets, which is they're getting fatter.
Yeah.
So after years and years of everybody crying out for thinner and thinner gadgets, it's kind of reached a kind of critical mass or a critical lack of mass. And now they're going to get fatter again.
Well, that's what's happened.
Until they're so big, they blot out the sun.
Yeah.
And
we'll be back to huge bricks, like the other side of our faces.
Yeah, or being pulled along on trolleys behind us.
could happen. It could happen. The screen.
It can't go bigger.
Go bigger, and it's already super AMOLED. I never know.
Super duper AMOLED. Could be the next step.
So, whether they do like super duper or super AMOLED HD.
I would imagine the screen
means nothing.
If they're going to go for any kind of continuity, and if they've learned anything again from Apple's web, or you know, want to follow Apple's way of doing things, I assume the screen would be the same size. The basic look and dimensions of the phone would be the same size, but the number of pixels,
the bells and whistles,
greatly increased.
Yeah, they've got to do something else. So they've got to do more than just quad core. And I've got a feeling they're gonna bring out their a new UI, so like HTC Sense, but Samsung's one, because they have got TouchWiz.
That's not really that impressive, is it? Like voice control. Do you think they might go big on voice control or some
possibly
other form of control, like brain mind control?
Even just to respond to Apple doing it, and whether or not you use it a lot, Apple certainly make a lot of noise about the fact they've got Siri and all their adverts. So they probably want to be seen to be doing something like that as well.
Yeah,
I don't know how
that makes sense.
Use it. Yeah.
Okay. All right, so that's kind of what we expect for the S3, which weirdly, well, not weirdly, I mean, the thing with phones is it's kind of got to a point where it's hard to get really excited about any new features, because nothing, it's always, like, better, and it's exciting from that point of view, but, like, really new. But what, if there was a dream feature in this, the most holy and miraculous of all phones, if that's what we're building up the S3 to be, if you could have, like, any feature on the phone.
It would
I'm
be
doing my Brian Cox again.
Oh, okay. Right.
All right.
I'm getting my Cox out.
Okay.
Yeah, what would be your dream feature, Ree?
Does it have to be... It
doesn't have to exist in our universe.
But so.
I mean, ideally, if it had some sort of grounding in reality, that would be good.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. I didn't know whether to go for a phone that would just give me money all the time.
That'd be nice.
Bit selfish.
Yeah. What? Okay, I'd want my phone to be able to fly to space and get me platinum then. That's not selfish.
Well, I'm good. That's good. That's a grounding in reality. Andrew, is there anything that's missing from phone technology that you would like to see in this phone? Or something that's existed but is not perfect and you would like to see perfected in the S3?
Well, I suppose it'd be quite good if you had something like Siri but actually had artificial intelligence.
That worked.
Yeah, and it'd just tell you things or, you know, or
just
not.
Just like a fact of the day.
Yeah.
Just like, hey, just today I'd like to tell you about this.
Yeah, did you know this?
Yeah, that'd be quite fun.
That'd be good.
Very good.
Good in a quiz. Could you have him as a teammate?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Well, that raises all sorts of interesting questions about artificial intelligence, doesn't it? I mean, you know, if a phone is indeed clever enough to win a pub quiz,
should it get a vote?
Should it be allowed to vote? Yeah.
I'm sure there's several episodes of Star Trek addressing just that conundrum.
Yeah, I hope so. Right, well, plenty of food for thought there. We'll be growing and then eating more of that food, ready to vomit over you this time next week. I wrote my own outro this week rather than cutting and pasting Dan's one. In the meantime, the new issue of T3 is on the shelves in both paper and tablet form. T3.com continues to exist on the internet, and we're on iTunes every Friday. I've been Duncan Bell. Thank you very much.